You are such a geek.
Geek.
What is a geek? What is a geek?
Wow. You're a neo-maxi zoom dweeby.
What is a geek?
Photos, motor pants, sluts, blood, waist oil, dweeby, big head, geek, geek.
That's how I felt.
I wasn't trying to hurt you. I just think it's the worst. I like the worst version of things in several instances. So I'm not saying you're like dumb for liking it. I just got exposed to the better versions first.
I know. So Matt, if you missed it, I tried to talk about Invincible last week and Jake was like, shut up, bitch. And then that was the end of the episode. We just Excelsior'd out of that.
I take notes, you know, for the... For the paragraph on the podcast download, and some of my notes, my shorthand, Jake thinks Invincible is stupid. So I got it all. I got the good
stuff.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think, we don't have to rehash it, but yeah.
You missed the season finale. He went into a different, like, everything's multiverse. Dude, Tim Robinson was he's an in-universe creator of Seance Dog, and he does this monologue about how the cheap tricks that animation can use to, like, you know, it's like sometimes we just throw in a shot of a bunch of – it's really far away, and no one's really moving, but it looks like it's moving because there's a lot of people in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Tim Robinson's in it. There's a point in – the season finale where Invincible's fighting a multiversal guy, and he goes into this multiverse and he finds like a Spider-Man type guy, and the Spider-Man guy is voiced by Josh Keaton, who was Spider-Man in Spectacular Spider-Man, one of the best animated shows of all time.
Nice. These Easter eggs all sound real fun. That's why I don't think anyone's stupid for liking it or that it's like the worst show ever. I just don't like it.
I got you. No, I was just kidding around, though.
I know. I just want the fans to know. I don't think they're like ignoramuses or guiguos for liking Invincible. I do think Robert Kirkman's a hack.
Yeah, this is the
I'll stand by
take.
That. Yeah, I'll stand by that. I think he had one really good idea and squandered it, and then the rest of his ideas are trash, but everybody wants it to be as good as the one idea he squandered.
Fair, I suppose. I like it. I haven't watched it in a while. I haven't watched this last season, but what I've spent my time getting caught up on, and I can't believe that I put it off for so long, was Ted Lasso. We binged through. We're not done with the third season.
I stopped like halfway through the third season because it got too sad for me. I need to finish it. I keep forgetting that I have a half a season to watch.
Yeah. Oh, no. Why did it get sad?
It gets kind of sad.
Football's like, life?
Yeah, but I mean, like, Ted Lasso's life is kind of shitty outside of the team, and so is the lady who owns the team's life, and it's like, it's not really, yeah, like, no one's life is really going well in the show, except, like, one of the footballers. Yeah, they're just all, like, learning lessons and enjoying their shitty lives, but they're all having kind of shitty lives.
What about fucking Roy Kent?
Oh, my God, I fucking love Roy Kent. Oi.
Roy Kent has one of the harshest storylines, dude. Roy Kent's heart gets ripped out. Yeah. Has he started maybe having a new job?
Well, I'm in the third season.
So is he already an announcer? No. He
goes back to, no, he leaves being a pundit and goes
to go to coaching. That's great, but he can't play anymore because of his fucking knee, and that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking storyline.
That's in first season.
Yeah, I forget. I watched them all when they came out, you slowpoke.
Oh, yeah, man. No, we're binging the shit out of it. And I got to tell you, it lives up to the hype. It's such a feel-good show, at least the first two seasons. Like, and the characters are extremely likable.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's so enjoyable.
So enjoyable.
And you're right. It's like, it's heartwarming, even though it's like kind of, it's like a sad heartwarming.
I love. Have you watched it, Mitch?
I've seen the first two seasons. Yeah. I watched.
Whoa, you know that's an Apple production, right, Mitch?
Yeah, but guess how I watched it?
You stole it.
No. I went over to Reese's house, and he has it on Blu-ray.
Okay. So you gave them several months of subscription money to watch one of their shows?
I didn't. Reese did. I just watched it over there.
Now, Matt, I have a direct question for you as a recent Apple TV convert. Do you think I'm out of line for thinking that Severance is far beyond a greater show than Ted Lasso?
You're saying Severance is a greater show than Ted Lasso.
By like a large margin. Even though Ted Lasso is like the most celebrated thing on the platform, I think Severance should be celebrated like 10 times more than it is. I think that show is crazy, crazy cool.
I would agree. I would agree, but the reason I hesitate and I sit here pondering that statement in question, Ted Lasso, though, is just, it's a completely different thing. It's a really good show.
I agree. That's why I wanted to ask you.
It really pushes, I don't know, it pushes positivity and just a good way to be.
Yeah.
But Severance is a mind for, it's an onion. It's a blooming onion. You get through those layers.
Have you seen Severance on DVD, Mitch?
No, I haven't.
You should buy it on DVD. It's worth it.
It's pretty solid.
It's fucking crazy, and the new season's coming soon.
Yeah, yeah.
A DVD box set of Netflix's The Crown.
Hopefully before the end of May, because I'm not gonna subscribe.
I think it's August. Yeah, you should. Oh yeah, I don't mean you should subscribe all the way through, but I mean, yeah. I think Apple TV has the strongest hit rate for the shows they've been putting out over any other streamer in the last 2 years.
I mean, I would definitely watch Monarch if I...
Oh, shit, that's right.
There are two new shows, Palm Royale, about Kristen Wiig back in the late 60s, sneaking into this upper echelon. That's really very good, very, very good. Ricky Martin's fucking dope in it. And then there's this new one that just came out last week called Sugar.
Sugar!
It's Colin Farrell as a private detective who's like got something physical ailment that's like debilitating him, but he's fighting through it to like do this last case, and it's pretty cool. I know his name is John Sugar.
That sounds like a character that Roger from American Dad would make up.
My name is John Sugar.
And everyone in the show makes fun of him for it. Like everyone when they realize his name is John Sugar is like, are you serious? This can't be real, right? Like, is this your private detective name? But Colin Farrell's really good as like a washed up PI who needs to retire because his body's falling apart.
So I got happy news.
Yeah?
Out of nowhere, my daughters asked if we could watch DuckTales.
Whoa! Woo.
It hasn't been on anyone's radar in a while. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, can we watch as a family through the series? And it's so good. And I'm learning a lot more watching it with them to try and, you know, look for comparisons between Huey, Dewey, Louie. And
yeah.
So I learn a lot about their personalities, Huey, Dewey, Louie. Watching, it's interesting. I'm really enjoying it again.
Dude, that's all on Disney Plus, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still one of the worst cancellations of the last, like, 10 years.
Oh, yeah. It's up there with fucking Coyote versus Acme.
I mean, TV series.
At least they
I know. Ah, fuck that. I still haven't gotten my Darkwing Duck that they promised us.
That's a good story.
And I think I just think it was short-sighted by Disney to think that that was something they should wrap up and try to move those animators to different projects. I don't know if you've been watching Disney's new movies lately, but I think their management's gone to shit.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like, they've been putting out... What's up?
Wish?
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
It sounded like you just got all weird.
Sorry.
Made a bunch of noise.
Mm-mm, that's my bad.
It's okay. I just didn't know if you were all right or if your headphones were disconnecting or what that was.
I'll sit in one spot.
Or take the screen with you.
Is that what was messing that up?
I don't know if it was distance. Did you open something?
Sounded like a
bang. Yeah.
It sounded crazy.
Sounded crazy. Hey, Pops, give us one of them crazy beers.
Crazy.
But yeah, Wish sucked. The one with the two fucking trolls looking for their debt, that sucked. Like, they've been putting out a lot of stinkers.
That was Pixar, though. right? The one with Chris Pratt and...
Yeah, but it's Disney again. They're the same company.
I know.
But they weren't for a minute. Apple had control for a minute. Yeah, it's... I don't know. I feel like as much as people attack them for, like, maybe a slight degrade in quality in, like, Marvel products, their animation studio should be ripped the fuck apart.
Some bold words.
What is...
I don't know.
Does X-Men 97 count as their animation studio?
I mean... Yes, but no, because I think Marvel's fully in control of that. I don't think that's like a Disney Studios project. Yeah. And they're...
Keep its vice grip on Pixar.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, and I think X-Men 97 benefits from having a seven-season or a six-season template that they're running off of. Because, like, I like What If a lot for the stories, but I don't think, like, it's got the best art direction. I think it's unique, and I can see why it was attractive to a studio to maybe do something like that, but I don't think it's the best. I think it disconnects it.
I didn't watch the last season. Should I?
Yeah, it's really good. The last season of What If? It's really good, dude.
I started watching it, and then I got up to the one where Iron Man like has to create a... He's the one that goes to Sakaar.
Yeah, and he makes that dope suit.
No, I didn't even get to that part. I was just like, I'll check back in on this later.
We recently rewatched Iron Man 2 and Captain America. The girls have wanted to watch it. They're like, can we watch this? It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I thought we were going to do a deep dive, not like an Albright level, but some kind of a dive back into the MCU, maybe to fill in some gaps.
You guys saw that they showed 9 minutes of Deadpool at CinemaCon tonight?
What?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Apparently it was pretty good. People are pretty happy. Baker texted me a spoiler I want to hit him with a wrench over.
He's there?
No, but his friends all are. But
don't
there's
tell
like
us
clips.
The spoiler.
I'm not. I'm just going to be vague. The clips they showed shit from the future in the MCU.
Oh.
It showed shit from current MCU. They also showed and like officially announced that the new Thunderbolts title is Thunderbolts Asterisk.
Yeah, I saw that right before we went live.
And it's because they're going to change the name after Captain America comes out.
What?
But they're like warning people ahead of time that for context, the name will be changed once Captain America comes out.
When's that coming out?
I don't know.
I am. I don't know whatever they're going to do about their X-Men on screen, but will it be as good as X-Men 97?
I bet it will, dude.
So do you think Deadpool is going to help Disney make certain changes, like if they wanted to Don Cheadle, Jonathan Majors?
I think they very much could. I don't think it's going to fix that problem because I don't think they were fully committed to firing Majors until this movie was done.
They could have added some time.
Are you eating teeth, Mitch? They just sound crazy loud. It sounds like he's eating those fried garlic nubs that we had to... Oh, God, I wish you guys could have those fried garlic nubs from Japan.
I want you to know that I've looked for them in multiple places, and I really want these. And
they're so good.
I didn't look on Amazon to get them shipped here, but I've been to like World Market and I've gone to some crazy place in Flatirons Mall that has Asian prawn flavored chips and other cuttlefish, you know, just weird shit. And I was hoping to
get
these garlic chips, but no luck, man.
Dude, they're the fucking truth. Full fried garlic nubs, Mitch.
What's that mean?
They're like whole cloves, and then they're deep fried till they're puffy like a Cheeto.
Ooh,
and then you just eat whole pieces of garlic and destroy your breath for the rest of the week.
Like,
they're just cloves.
No, the packaging.
Oh, it was like a jar with like a tan label around it.
Oh, that's the thing that Sam drank in the episode. Jimmy Team.
Yeah, but they were so good. We went through more than one container of them. And if you look at the video, that container is already like 2/3 gone when Sam goes to knock it back because we couldn't save it for the snack thing. We kept eating them.
Was it this Nothing Else Wow Bawang Crispy Garlic Chips? Those look good.
Are they full clove?
But
yeah.
Yours,
and those could...
yours were like discs or slices, I thought.
No, that's just the way it looks on camera. They were full cloves. It's just they had like a kind of reddish like almost a curly fry colored seasoning to them that on camera made them lose all their depth. Yeah. No, they were full nubs. They were full fucking, they called them fried garlic nubs, but it's fried garlic cloves, and they were fucking, woo, baby, baby.
I can't find fried garlic nubs. This crispy garlic looks good. It's just so, oh, it's a pack of six.
They were called nubs?
Yeah.
Like Yub Nub?
Like Yub Nub. Do you think Marvel's going to fix anything with Deadpool, Mitch?
Probably not.
What are you excited for in Deadpool?
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean,
Wolverine.
That's the whole shebang for you? You don't think there's going to be anything? Which Wolverine? Daniel Radcliffe?
No, Hugh Jackman, dude, bro, in the full yellow suit.
I'm pretty excited for Patch, and I'm pretty sure it's Daniel Radcliffe. I'm getting to the point where, like, I'll gamble money on it.
I don't know, man. I'm, after fully speculating on what was going to happen at WrestleMania, I mean, like, and then this will happen, and then none of that happening, I'm like, yeah, none of that wild shit that anyone's going to fucking predict is going to come true.
Well, no, a lot of it's coming true because we already know those people were there filming. So we know Ben Affleck's in it. We know fucking Jennifer Garner's in it. We know Halle Berry was in it. We know a lot of people were there.
Doing what?
It'd be great if they do a Ryan Reynolds.
No. Well, I mean, who was Halle Berry that might show up in a Marvel movie? Yeah,
I guess Catwoman?
No, that's funny.
You could be like, oh, shit, wrong universe.
That made me giggle so hard I was doing a hit, but I almost destroyed my bong. I almost blew the water through my bong when you said, oh, I guess Catwoman. Fuck.
I'd like to see a Ryan Gosling Wolverine. I think that'd be funny.
That could be cool. There's heavy rumors that Cavill's in it as Wolverine and that he might be the Wolverine going forward now.
That would be pretty cool.
He's still pretty tall, though.
Yeah, that's my bitch. I think it should be Taron Egerton. I'm pretty sure the more I think
Eggsy.
About it. Yeah, that kid's got the goods.
And he can sing.
And he can sing. He's got the whole Hugh Jackman package, but smaller, like we needed it.
Exactly.
He got the Hugh Jack pack, bro.
And then we just got to get Nathan Lund cast as Puck.
Puck.
I think this is something we should all be trying for until it catches on in the nerd sphere. And then Marvel will pay to save Nathan's health like they save Kumail's.
I don't know if I can handle Lund with abs.
I don't think they'd go that far. He's going to play Puck. I just think they would, like, you know, make sure he wasn't a heart attack risk on set.
Hmm.
Yeah. Plus, Kumail famously went too hard. Like, Marvel had to redo his... Yeah, they had to redo his costumes. Like, he got way bigger than they wanted him to get.
And good thing that movie that he was in got stellar reviews, and they're definitely making a sequel of it.
They still say they're definitely making the sequel.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. It's important to the story, dude. And everyone's wrong. It's a great movie.
Is it?
Is it
important to the story?
It
None
is.
None of those motherfuckers have mentioned that there's a half gigantic stone man pointing out of the southern hemisphere of the fucking earth.
Not yet. Well, they have. It's been in news reports and shit.
Yeah, but like, there's been how many movies? There was never just like, oh, the fucking Earth was almost. They're gonna retcon it out of existence.
No, they've already said that's where the adamantium's coming from.
What, out of the big stone guy hanging out of the Earth?
Yeah, that's also where it comes from in the comics.
Yeah, the big stone guy?
It comes from Celestials.
So there's a Celestial under Wakanda, or part of a Celestial landed on this planet over Wakanda?
Well, no, that's vibranium.
Oh, fair enough.
But vibranium, actually, now that you say that, might actually, I think in the comics, be derived from a Celestial as well.
Wait, that would make sense. Consistent.
Yeah, adamantium for sure is.
I thought adamantium was an alloy.
It is.
So it's bad vibranium and then what?
Oh, no. Cap's shield is a adamantium-vibranium alloy.
In the comics, right? It's not pure.
But adamantium's not an alloy. It's its own metal. It's got, like, its own symbol on the...
That's what I was thinking. The shield is vibranium-adamantium alloy.
Right.
Right?
But adamantium's not an alloy. It's a pure metal, and it's a metal in the Celestials' bodies.
Just like
that. Same way that we have magnesium for some reason. And zinc.
Zinc and...
Magnesium and copper and... Like, a lot of metal exists in you, Mitch.
Iron.
I am the master of magnetism.
Iron. Yeah, our bodies are electrical systems. We run on electrolytes and salts. And
I am Iron Man.
So
that's right, Mitch.
Started watching. We're watching, my girls and I, the live action Avatar: The Last Airbender.
On Netflix.
Yeah, I don't know if you would watch the cartoon.
Yes.
But the live action, I think, doing a pretty good job. They've made a few creative choices with Boomer,
such as
his childhood friend, who is the king of it is Bob. It's a little different interaction. So it seems in the show, they're doing the whole first season, hour long episodes. So they're covering maybe two episodes worth, and they're combining certain.
Yeah,
it's been good so far. I'm digging it.
I haven't watched it yet. I've heard mixed things though, but the fact that you like it means I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just like it because of what it is. Like my daughters and I really enjoy that world.
I like the live action One Piece.
My friend Doug is always talking about it. I just haven't.
It's fun. It's good. I've watched the cartoon. And I appreciate why people who are into the anime think the anime is better. I don't think that. I think the anime is tedious and the artwork is over-exaggerated and it's kind of a pain in the ass to watch.
Probably why.
But the story gets fleshed out a lot more in the anime. Like, I can see why people that watch the anime first like it better. But I think that
it's like 1,000 episodes. They can flesh out whatever they want.
Exactly. But I think, like, what they did, even though fans are like, they didn't treat all the characters right. It's like, yeah, but they also didn't spend 40 episodes giving you backstory about one character. Yeah.
Is
I thought it was
inappropriate?
Very good. I mean, how old are your daughters now?
11 and 12.
Yeah, it's like a dismembered clown's not going to fuck up one of your kids, right?
Maybe not.
How
dismembered?
I mean, he like recombines and shit, but he dismembers with knives and attacks the main character. Like, it's stuff like that.
In the comic or in the cartoon?
Both. The cartoon and the live action. Whoa. The live action clown is, like, a little scary, but I don't think it'd be too much for your daughters, Matt. Like, they're your daughters.
So he's a scary clown. Is he by himself or is he in some sort of posse?
He's in a posse. It's all pirates. So One Piece is about this kid, Luffy, who's always dreamed of being a pirate. You can kind of find out why during the run of the show, why pirates are so important to him. But he wants to be a good pirate and, like, do good things and be, like, kind of a Robin Hood. And
can't
so,
be
like,
kid.
Well, Luffy says otherwise. But they go up against a bunch of other pirate gangs and, like, the naval army and shit like that. So the clown pirates is one of the pirates they go up against. But the leader of the clown pirates, they have these, I forget what they're called, juju fruit, but there's these like magic fruits that exist in this universe. And you can, if you eat one, there's no way of knowing what power it will give you, but it'll give you a power. Whoa, but it might be terrible. It could be a terrible thing that it does to you. So it's like a huge risk to eat one of these things, but they're these precious things.
What do you mean terrible? It's like you could eat it and it's like you have AIDS?
Or, like, your legs turn to, like, mush and never go back.
Oh, that's such a gamble. But you could be like, oh, this is the I'm Superman now fruit.
Yeah. So, like, the main character, Luffy, turns into Plastic Man.
Whoa.
So it's, like, basically about Plastic Man, the pirate Robin Hood, trying to put together a gang of friends to all be good people, but also pirates.
So he can stretch his body, but he's still a human? He just ate the fruit?
He ate the juju fruit or whatever it's called, and he can, like, stretch his arms, make shapes out of his body, and return back. He's like elastic. He can go back to his normal form.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then, like, most of the pirate captains or, like, boss people in this universe have had access to one of the juju fruits. So the clown had a juju fruit that allows him to, like, come apart like Legos and fucking swing his arms in the air with knives and shit. And it's just a little bit creepy. It's not, like, it's not worse than, like, that fucking zombie body that walks out of the pool on Are You Afraid of the Dark on Nickelodeon from, like, 1995, because that hasn't stuck with me every night the rest of my life.
What? I don't recall what this is.
Oh, man. The one at, like, the public pool. And the girl's swimming and, like, keeps getting attacked in the pool. And then, like, the big swamp thing, fucking dead body corpse comes out of the pool after her. Oh, it's fucked. Some of those Are You Afraid of the Darks were very fucking scary. Do you ever watch that, Matt?
No. I don't think I did. Afraid of the Dark?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? It was an old Nickelodeon series for, like, later teens that they'd play in the afternoons.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Zombie.
When would this have been? 1990.
1990 to, like, maybe 96, 97.
Okay, I was finishing high school, then going to college.
And then they changed it to, like, the Goosebumps show, but it was, like, the same show.
I remember Goosebumps. I also remember they did some kind of Nightmare on Elm Street TV show. No, Friday the 13th TV show.
They also did the Crypt Keeper shows.
Or like a warehouse horror. I don't remember what it was called. But it used the name of one of the big franchises without really using any of the characters or the content.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
This is cool. Children's TV series. All right.
It was
scary. Whoa, that zombie is fucking terrifying.
Yeah, see, Mitch? You found it?
I found it. He looks kind of like the fucking Predator if the Predator got melted.
Yeah, it's like the Swamp Thing and the Predator fucked and had a terrifying baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were several episodes of that show. Dude, you should try to see if you could find her Are You Afraid of the Dark on streaming or even on DVD, because it was really good. The premise is it's a group of kids called the Midnight Club, and they go to a fire every night and try to scare the shit out of each other by one-upping their stories.
The stories might be real or...
Yeah, they kind of leave it open-ended sometimes. If it's really scary, usually they'd have like a little bit afterwards with the kids to make it like more lighthearted going into the credits. Or they'd be like, that didn't really happen. And then one of the guys would be like in a costume trying to flirt with one of the girls or something around the fire. Stupid. But sometimes they try to alleviate the like, and that kid lived just down the street from me.
And then it fell her eyes like, ah,
yeah, exactly.
Someone
and then
has
they
the
throw the stand
yellow
on the fire.
Cat eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I call this meeting of the Midnight Club to order.
Yeah, and when they throw it, the sand had like firework shit in it. So when they throw it on the fire, it would like, whoosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to watch I Love Lucy to calm down.
Yeah, dude. The opening to Are You Afraid of the Dark still gives me creeps.
With the train and shit?
Yeah. And just that weird, ominous, like.
Yeah. I mean, it's a testament that Mitch and I haven't seen this show in at least 20 years because it's not syndicated, and we both remember a lot of it because it was scarring.
I don't want to talk about it!
Yeah.
Jake, why did you open up these fucking mental blocks I had in place to forget about the fucking pool zombie?
I also think Alex Mack's responsible for me being attracted to tomboys so hardcore.
Mm. She could melt into a Capri Sun puddle.
That's right. They were like the same exact effect.
Oh, she was...
Secret Adventures of Alex Mack? Or the Secret Life of Alex Mack?
I didn't watch it. Secret World.
World. I was going to get there eventually.
But she played a mom on a TV show that my girls watched.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for her. That rules.
Yeah, I forgot what it's called. What's her name? Larissa Olenek? Olenek?
That sounds close, yeah. Olenek or something like that.
Yeah. It's called Erin and Aaron. And it's about these step siblings, I think that come together. They're musically inclined. There's a really smart, resourceful little girl who comes with the package, and she plays the mom, the boy's mom.
Nice.
Yeah, she still looks good.
What channel's it on? Disney? Sounds like a Disney thing.
It does, but it might be on Netflix. Got David Young. David Jung.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and a couple other people.
I know you have kids in the house, so it's...
The Nickelodeon show.
Okay, good. Well, maybe. I was going to say, I know you have...
Right,
yeah. Have you watched that fucking doc, dude? Holy shit. That kid got the diddled... He got diddled to high hell.
Who did?
You ever seen Josh and Drake?
Yeah. But didn't Drake also diddle?
No, I think he texted...
Hey, diddle people.
Well, but he learned. No,
I got.
He learned it from that other dude, probably.
I don't know. I think they're different things. I think the fucking guy diddled the fucking living hell out of him. It wasn't like he cornered him once and got his ass. He like talked his mom into like basically letting him have custody and was just raping the living fuck out of this 15-year-old boy all the time. Now I am very confused as to how he was a 15-year-old boy and the extent of this was happening, because at 15, like, I don't know a grown man I couldn't have killed in a bed, but I guess, like, I also didn't have the pressure of being the only breadwinner in my family and all that shit, but I do not understand how he was as old and already famous as he was and just let himself get diddled that violently. It just seems insane.
So where is this documentary? Please don't fucking say Apple Plus.
I wish it was on Apple Plus. It's on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah,
you should. Okay, I don't fucking watch this, because I don't know. I hear it's fucked up.
It's fucked. I'm glad it's all, like, other than all that in the Amanda show, it's all shit that happened after I was done watching kids' entertainment, or at least live-action kids' entertainment. So, like, thank God. But it's, like, dude, a lot of it's bad. Like, a lot of it, even the people, the kids talking about it are like, this shit went right over our head. I was like, if I'd have seen some of these jokes, it would not have gone over my head. Like, they bring up the lady Taint. I forget her first name, but one of Amanda's characters on all that was something Taint.
Please.
What? What'd you say, Mitch?
What?
Are you texting? Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to have to watch it because I was a Nickelodeon kid for a while there. And what's funny is that I remember Dan Schneider from Better Off Dead.
Yeah, they bring that up.
He played Ricky.
Yeah, they bring up that he was a child star himself, kind of, and then like parlayed that into this weird power role at Nickelodeon, and then started slipping like weird jokes into the kids' shows.
He was also in Head of the Class, I think.
That's the one they talk about, Head of the Class, yeah.
With Howard
Hutton. And yeah, and he just like was protecting a lot of perverts, and then like has also been accused of really terrible shit by Amanda Bynes and other people who just won't go on the record for this documentary to say it again.
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, but she says Dan Schneider got her pregnant and forced her to get an abortion when she was 13.
What
the fuck?
Yeah, and I like believe her. I really, really believe her. And then all the shit he made Ariana Grande do is fucking insane. So like I wouldn't be surprised. And I think some of these people are just powerful enough that they, like, don't want to come forward and publicly talk about maybe getting diddled. But there's no way that, like, the main star of one of their biggest shows was the only person getting diddled by all these fucking perverts.
So he only got Drake, but not Josh?
Yeah, he didn't get Josh. Got Drake. Got Drake a lot.
He didn't like him heavy. Josh.
Yeah, probably heavy. Not. Yeah. And did you watch all that as a kid, Mitch? Did you watch all that as a kid? Do you remember the one adult character? There was one adult character. Do you remember him? The guy who delivered all the pickles?
The fuck? What?
The pickle man. No, he'd come in with the giant plate of pickles during like all the episodes. It was like a running bit. That's the guy who fucked the shit out of Belle.
Pickle man?
Yeah.
I'm the pickle man. You know he said that shit when he was molesting those kids.
I don't know, dude. He was shoving shit up Drake's butt, forced him to, like, have mouth sex. Because that's the funny fucked up. It's funny to me. I'm sick. I also got diddled, so fuck it. But Drake's doing the interview and, like, breaking his silence, but he won't describe anything. So when they're interviewing him, he's having a moment where he's like, yeah, I don't know. When the interviewer's like, what did he do to you? And he's like, I don't know. And it gets real pensive. He's like, just think about, like, every bad thing you could do to a kid, and that's what he did to me. And then they just, like, throw up the court document, which I think is, like, a dickhead thing to do as an editor and a producer of a documentary. Like, the guy didn't want to identify item by item what happened to him, so then you just put it up in black and white. Yeah, it's just a weird juxtaposition edit there, where they're like, he won't tell you, but here's a document that says things got shoved in his ass, and he was forced to orally copulate with this man. And he was raped in his butthole tons of times. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And then the guy who did it to him had a job at Disney 6 days after he got out of prison for raping him.
The fuck?
Yeah, dude. They don't do, like, background checks on these people. They don't give a fuck. They're all, like, protected by other people higher up who already know them and are hiring them without running any checks.
Jesus, dude. That's insane. And also fucking kind of like, I watched Neil Brennan's new stand-up on Netflix. And yeah. There's a running joke in that stand-up where he's like, whenever someone says, hey, did you see that documentary? You know something fucked up is going to happen after that sentence.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what just happened, dude. I don't know, man. Wait, did he get Keenan and Kel?
Well, that's the thing is, like, all these guys who were doing this shit were there when Keenan and Kel were fucking 8 to 18 years old. And, like, the guy who diddled Drake was also young Leonardo DiCaprio's fucking coach. And, like, Will Friedle's coach. And he worked on all kinds of children's productions and worked with, like, all these fucking pretty little boys, quote unquote. And they show pictures of him with all of them, like, young. And so, like, there's no way that he one time, one and only, decided to fuck Drake Bell, and then it was also that violent and repetitive. Like, he was definitely fucking other kids. They're just not coming forward because their shit worked out. Or he wasn't able to manipulate their family to where he was raping them daily. Like, maybe he just molested them once, like, when he got them alone on a trip or, like, something like that, where it wasn't as mentally hell for these kids as Drake's life was. But yeah, and then like Will Friedle and like, dude, the people that were defending this guy in court and like went and sat on his side in the court case is heartbreaking, Mitch. Batman was there. Little Terry McGinnis.
God damn it.
And he's like made a statement about it last week, him and Ryder Strong, because they both defended him, because I think he helped them on Boy Meets World. But they both came out and like, we didn't know how bad this guy was, like, yada, yada, yada. But again, it's like, there's no way he wasn't diddling someone on your set. That was his whole game.
Maybe it was them.
Maybe. I don't know, dude. Famous stars writing in letters like, we don't think he raped this boy. The boy must have been into it. He wouldn't do anything like this. Please give him a light sentence.
Yeah, it's the same shit that fucking Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis did for Danny Masterson.
Yeah. And then they came out, too, and were like, we're sorry. Like, yeah, but you already knew what he did. At least back then, I think there was more of an air in the early 2000s where these people only got the information that he gave them.
Yeah.
And him and his lawyers were asking them to write letters. So I don't think, like, I believe Will Friedle when he says, like, we really didn't know what we were defending. But it's also like, maybe don't ever do that then.
Don't defend something unless you know for sure, I suppose. But
yeah, don't write character witnesses for people you don't know well. Yeah, but it's nuts. They like, and they name like 30 some people who wrote letters on his behalf and showed up in court for this fucking diddler. It's nuts.
Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah.
And then they added an episode last week. That's why I brought it up. They did a new episode where
how
they
many
interview.
Episodes?
It's like 3 1-hour episodes or 6 2-hour, or I don't fucking know. It's either 3 2-hour episodes. Yeah, 3 2-hour episodes or 6 1-hour episodes, depending on the platform you watch it on.
So it's a 6-hour doc, and then they just, so they released a fourth?
It was a 4-hour doc, and they released the 5th and 6th hour last week.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's pretty damning. And it does seem like the only people who want to talk are people that didn't make money.
Oh, shit. That's
because they're not getting anybody to come forward and do interviews other than Drake, whose career was ruined by, I think he was trying to hook up with a kid too and got busted because it was a sting.
You know, he learned it by...
I know, but I mean, he's the only high-profile name in the whole documentary. Everyone else is like, who's that's from all that? Or, you know, third string character actors from the Amanda show. Like, they couldn't get anybody who parlayed it into a career. Like, they couldn't get Ariana Grande. They couldn't get the girl who wrote the book about it.
Jenna, what's her name? McCarthy?
Yeah, McCurdy.
Wait, no. McCurdy. Jeanette McCurdy.
Okay. Yeah. She's not on it. Like, nobody you would think would be in it is in it. Because,
is Kel,
like,
Mitchell in it?
No, but there's also rumors that, like, all these people got signed NDAs and got hush money.
Oh,
and that,
shit.
Like, most of the people that got diddled or, like, Amanda Bynes can't go on camera interviews. because she definitely probably got paid off when her parents let her get an abortion when she was 13.
Yeah, Amanda Bynes is like, she's not doing well these days mentally.
She's a manicurist now. She's apparently doing a lot better. But also, part of everybody thinking she wasn't doing well is that she was posting shit like, my producer got me pregnant when I was 13 and forced me to get an abortion. And would just
they
post
were like,
that out of context on Twitter.
Amanda. And then now, look, it's like, yeah, you should have been listening to Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda, please.
Yeah, basically. It's nuts.
Shit. Did you guys, I don't know, did you ever... Are we still talking about this documentary?
No, go to whatever you want.
I was going to ask if you guys have been watching the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No. Oh, yeah, I finished it.
I put it
cried
a lot.
Series finale.
Did they end it like Seinfeld, it looked like, where he's on trial and everybody...
They fixed the Seinfeld ending.
I didn't see
they
it.
They fixed it.
I saw a snapshot or something of it.
I think the last line of the show is, that should have been our ending.
Right.
And then him and Jerry like celebrate that they finally figured out the idea, even though it's years later, and walk off, and then credits roll.
Are they all in it, or just Jerry?
Just Jerry.
But it was kind of like a parallel to the Seinfeld and finale, because it's a bunch of like people from Larry's past coming out to be
characters. Oh, it's 100% on purpose the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Hugh. I hope he comes back.
And they paid off the bit where Leon has never watched Seinfeld. You know, that's like a running bit Leon showed up with his family. He finally watched Seinfeld before the last episode. And his takeaway from watching Seinfeld is hilarious. It's been written about. I know it's a thing. I know Reductress and all these places have written articles, but his takeaway is that it's ass of the week.
Ass of the week.
That it's just about Jerry getting new ass every week.
Yeah.
And and Larry's like, no, it's not. And he's like, yeah, it was, man. He's tapping new ass every week. Every week you bring in a new hot woman for that guy. Yeah. But then he has like a sit down with Jerry. And the shit he accuses Jerry of, that Jerry just, like, yes ands, is so fucking funny. Right. Don't you agree, Mitch?
Yeah. I also liked, so they go to that restaurant, right? The soul food restaurant, and they try to get the recipe for the salad. And Auntie Ray says it's an old family recipe, and then fucking Jeff and Larry devise a plan to steal the recipe, and fucking the way Susie's just like, you stole the recipe, Jeffrey, you fat fuck. It's so fun. Oh god, you stole an anniversary present, Jeffrey.
It's so good, and the way she blows what she's doing in that the way that Auntie Ray fucking figured it out is funny as shit too.
Right. Oh, it's so cattywampus.
And she just stops in her tracks and stares at him for a second and then continues on her way. Oh, that's so fucking good.
I'm putting it off because I'm waiting for my Apple trial to end.
I mean,
you're trying to maximize your Apple.
That's fair and smart. Apple does have the best product right now.
But I do want to watch Curb.
Curb is so good. It's sad to watch Richard be as sick as he is.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was breaking my heart.
That scene where, was it this season or last season where Larry tells him to die?
Oh, Jesus.
Was that last season? When are you going to die?
I think it has to be because he was still dating what's-her-face. The racist lady who gets a pass?
Oh, shit. Is that season 11?
He's dating her in this one, too. He gets removed during this season.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
The redheaded lady.
The same lady that didn't let them merge?
Yeah, the English comic. The one he's dating because he was trying to like get her to vote a certain way. And then
Fleabag lady?
No. Older. Impressionist. Did characters and shit. I keep wanting to say Carol Burnett, and that's not what it is.
No, but she's in a new movie or show that I saw.
Fleabag?
No, Carol Burnett.
Oh, yeah, Carol Burnett's in Palm Royale.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she's really funny in it.
She's always so funny.
Yeah.
You ever seen the show Hacks, Gene?
Yes.
That's a very good show.
Yeah. The younger gal, whose name I should be able to remember,
yeah,
is a big fan of Chubby Behemoth.
Nice. Well,
Yeah.
What?
She's like one of her. She's asked more than once if she could be on Chubby Behemoth, and the boys have explained to her politely, like, we only have on old friends. Like, we don't have guests. We have old friends on who have stories about our past. Yeah. But that was, like, one of the first.
So that she can have a story.
So, wait.
Yeah.
Who is this that is a fan of Chubby?
It's a comic that plays the young comedian writer on Hacks. And she was, like, it was, like, early in our run of Chubby that she, like, reached out to Sam and was like, yo, I love your show. If you ever need a guest, I'd love to do it.
Why don't they just let her do it?
Because, like, it would be an interview. They don't have any... Like, we don't want to interview people on that show. It's more about just telling stories or talking about what just happened.
Mm.
And having people in that don't have the rapport just changes the pace of everything. It turns it into an interview. Like, it's not a topic-based discussion like we're doing, so we can't just, like, bring people into the jump, you know? So if it's not Hiker or somebody that can tell fun stories they haven't had reasons to tell before, they don't want to do it. They don't want it to be another comedy interview show.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So the show Hacks is pretty good. It's Jean Smart plays like this.
Who's she playing?
I mean, is it a Joan Rivers essentially?
It's Rivers.
And then this young girl like works as her assistant and her writer, and then they become
confidant
friends, and yeah. But there's ups and downs, but it's really funny, and Jean Smart's really good in it. It's been a couple of years since I watched it, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you watch all the seasons?
No, I watched maybe one, maybe two.
Okay, yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah. Jean Smart's amazing. It so's Shooter McGavin.
Yes,
Christopher McDonald. Yes.
Thank you, but his name's Shooter McGavin. He should legally change it.
Yeah, it is.
Did you guys see they're doing a second one?
Yes.
Happy
Gilmore 2.
It's officially been announced.
This is one step towards my ultimate goal. Happy Gilmore 2, then he does Billy Madison 2, and then they do a third movie where Billy and Happy have to team up for some reason. And Adam Sandler plays both characters just like he did in Jack and Jill.
I love you so much, Mitch.
An unholy mega sequel, Sandlerverse, bro.
Well, did you see the other big movie announcement that happened this afternoon, Mitch?
Little Mickey 2?
Nope, it'd be more exciting to you than that. It's a rated R version of maybe one of our favorite things.
Oh, that's right. I told you about this.
Yes.
I broke the news to you because I
know. I was trying to give you a blind item.
I got you. It is a... They are doing a R-rated adaptation of the Ninja Turtles storyline, The Last Ronin. It's going to be R-rated. It's going to be live action. And it's going to fucking rule. It's going to be the best fucking Ninja Turtle movie in a long time.
I saw a couple of copies at Mutiny the other day up here.
I'm extremely hopeful that this will lead to a lot more rated R Ninja Turtle properties.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any way this doesn't make buckets of fucking cash.
Dude, yeah, Matt, if you haven't read that book, you should definitely pick it up. Go to your local library.
Do you like crying? Well, then you're going to like this book, because every single issue has a B storyline just designed to make you cry in your house alone with your Ninja Turtle toys. But I have the Punk Brothers now, so I ain't afraid of no ghost.
Nice. The Punk Brothers.
We never said that we were on episode 326 of the Broadcast Geeks, did we?
No, that you were our host, Matt Oren, and that I'm Jake Becker, and that's our buddy Midnight Mitch Jones.
Yes, it is. We didn't do that. Oh, shit, I gotta plug in my phone real quick. I didn't know.
We're almost there, buddy.
Yeah, we're almost there.
I don't know really what else. Like, I've really just been trying to get through when I have the TV time is to watch Ted Lasso, and now that I'm almost done with it, I can gear up for Curb, because that's over, so I'm very excited. But I still have a month, a month and a half left of Apple. I could take a week off.
Abbott Elementary's been great. There's a show, Will Trent, that I think is amazing.
She works in the district now.
Yep.
Adrian Chase from
Yeah. Tara. Yeah. That goofy fuck is back in there as one of the district employees.
Yes, as her boss. Yeah, it's a good show. We enjoy
the new episodes have been fun.
All right.
Young Sheldon is in its last season.
Yeah, we dig that show.
It's so good. As someone who like could not fucking care less about the Big Bang Theory, and I watched it while I've been sick because I was out of things to watch in the wintertime. It's not good. It's like serviceable comedy, Big Bang Theory, but Young Sheldon's brilliant.
It has a laugh track, doesn't it?
Oh no, I think was it a laugh track or was it a studio audience? Yeah.
Show was filmed in front of a live audience. All right.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah, I watched it briefly, but not really. Like, yeah. I caught it when it would be on, and I.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not the worst thing I've ever... Yeah, Young Sheldon's like, holy fuck, is this good. Every character. Missy, Sheldon, George, the dad.
Georgie.
Everybody.
Great.
Georgie's some of the luckiest casting. Because, like, if you go back to the first season, that kid's a kid. And then, yeah, to figure out that they could do a storyline where he gets an older newscaster pregnant at 17 is fucking hilarious. You know, that's the new show. They're doing a show about Georgie and her.
Oh, really? So he goes to jail at some point because doesn't Sheldon reference that at a younger age when he's Jim Parsons reflecting?
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, him and Graham are still running a fucking gambling ring. So, dude, Annie Potts can get it. I'd still toss one her way, man. Yeah, I think she is. I haven't seen it. Yeah, and she can still get it. Yeah, I'd ruin that beehive.
It's wild to me. That mom, she's only 40. She comes off as being, I guess, maybe about that age.
And she's what's-her-name's daughter from Roseanne that plays Sheldon's mom. Yeah.
Oh, no wonder she has that face.
Yeah, dude, that's like brilliant genius move on the studio's part to cast her actual daughter.
That works, yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Does she play the mom, Laurie Metcalf, in Big Bang?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Whoa.
Yeah, so then they cast her daughter who looks like enough like her in the face that it's eerie, but it doesn't look, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a smooth move. Yeah.
All right, I like it, I like it. And then Mandy,
yeah.
Mandy, Georgie's baby mama?
Yeah.
That's, she's an Osmond, Haley Joel Osmond. Sister?
No shit, that makes sense. I can see it now that you say it in the face. Like, yeah. That totally adds up. Damn, she's funny.
Yeah, I discovered that.
And then Craig T. Nelson was coach. Craig T. Nelson's so fucking good as Annie Potts' boyfriend.
I also like Wendy Malick. She is, she was on that Hot in Cleveland show, but no, she was also,
Yeah.
Was it the one with Phil Hartman, I think.
Not, was she on News Radio? No, she's on Just Shoot Me.
That's it. That's what I meant. Just Shoot Me.
Credit to Mitch. But yeah, she was hot as shit on that. That was an early awakening for me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Such a good show. Such a good show. I really dig it. I keep hearing this guy's name. I don't know who he is. Brian Stepanek?
Can you hear Mitch, Matt?
No, not at all. He's dropped off the call.
Oh, no, he's back. I can hear you, but Matt can't. I had a strong feeling he couldn't because I didn't think there was any way he was talking over you that often. No, he can't hear you. Leave the call and come right back. Yeah, Mitch is coming right back. He's been back for, like, the whole time. He left for, like, 10 seconds. It's okay. Most of the time it seemed like you could actually hear him, but then there was, right at the end, he brought up a new subject and he rolled right through it. And I was like, "That, I think he can't hear him." So if he comes back and you still can't hear him, we should probably just wrap. Yeah, I mean, Mitch will have to edit it. Hi, Mitch. Hey, Mitchy. We're here for you, buddy.
I see him.
He's not back yet. I was just saying hi in the edit.
Oh, hi, man.
We're having a good time. It would be better if you were here with us, buddy.
Yeah, wish you were here, bro. Wish you were here.
I have a weird feeling he just gave up.
Well, should we?
I don't know. Let's give him a second here. I feel bad for him.
I like
he gets
how
so frustrated. You liked how what?
Sam, what's his name? Richardson, his role on Ted Lasso.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like him. Did you watch both seasons of
After Party?
After Party?
You goddamn right I did.
Dude, what a show. Awesome. What a fucking show. Mitch, great. Probably leave this in the edit. I think the first season was better, but I'm partial to a Benny Schwa.
Yeah.
I think the cast
first was better as well.
I think it was the cast, though. I don't think it was necessarily a story issue. I think they just hit a real home run with the cast in the first
season. I like the second one because it was very different. But it was also a little contrived because we're like, oh, we got to make the same situation. There he is.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the characters were bigger leaps of imagination than the high school. Like the high school reunion kind of rang more of a true situation for all those personalities to be in one place.
Right.
Whereas like the ragtag wedding with a con man and like there was just a lot of leaps of imagination you had to make in the second season, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Jack Whitehall is that fucking con man is hilarious.
We're talking about
After Party. You'll never guess. It's an Apple Plus TV show, Mitch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So Matt can see you now, I take it. Nice. We're winning. We're doing so good.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But what were you saying right before that, Mitch?
I don't remember.
That's fair. I'm also high.
It was not important.
Nothing we say that, buddy. That's why we say it.
No, I just, it wasn't like earth shattering. You know what I'm saying? Like, what were we talking about?
We were talking about
After Party.
After, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with Jasper.
Sam Richardson and first season, at least, Benny Schwartz. And
Dave.
Tiffany Haddish. Yeah, Dave Franco in the first season. Tiffany Haddish is in both seasons. Yeah.
Who's the guy that plays Walt? I know that guy.
I was trying to think of his name. Is Walt, wait, which one's Walt?
The one that nobody remembers his name?
Yeah. Ah, fucking. It's not.
It's a mystery where it's a high school reunion. And Dave Franco's very famous character is killed or found dead, and Tiffany Haddish plays a detective who each episode is pretty much an interview with a different suspect, and the story is told through their perspective. It's great.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then Ben Schwartz has a sweet cameo in the second season, so it's worth it just for that.
Yeah, Ike Barinholtz is in the first season.
Yeah, Ike Barinholtz is fucking funny in the first season, too.
Yeah. I also liked the weird guy in the second season. Well, there's a couple. There's that...
Zach Woods?
Yeah.
Zach Woods is a fucking monster. He might be second or third best improviser alive. Yeah. Middleditch and Schwartz are kind of tied for first. And then I don't know who second would be. There's a lot of people in that running. Maybe J.B. Smoove. Well, and he's the only person on Curb that's doing improv in all those episodes in character. Everyone else is doing improv as themselves, basically.
Oh, that's fair.
Right.
So, like, even Larry David screams from the rafters that, like, yo, J.B. Smoove's a fucking genius. Everyone else on that show is doing very little of what I ask of them. And J.B. Smoove is delivering above and beyond what the rest of us are capable of.
He's so good in that show, man.
Yeah, and I guess according to everyone who knows him and Larry and everyone, that character has like not one fucking molecule in common with the actual J.B. Smoove.
Right.
Yeah, other than the voice, like nothing. Like nothing that comes out of Leon's mouth is a natural choice for J.B. Smoove. So like it's apparently insane to behold what he's doing for like improvisers.
I very much enjoy Leon and Larry's friendship in the last season of Curb.
Yeah, yeah, it is sweet.
One of my favorite moments on that show is when Vivica Fox was related to Leroy, when the Blacks,
yeah,
when they came after Katrina or whatever it was, there is a part where Susie to yell at Larry and Vivica Fox, do you think you are yelling at my man? And Larry standing behind her like, yeah, yeah, all excited.
Yeah, because he's sleeping with Vivica, right?
Yeah. I fucking love that. That is one of my all-time favorite endings of an episode.
Ah, it's so good.
It is. It truly, it was so awkward to watch at first. And then once you just get through it, the best thing you're going to take in for that day.
It was never awkward for me because I do think he's pretty close to my id. Same with Costanza. Like, no part of me has ever seen a Costanza storyline and been like, That's insane what kind of person would do that. I watch it and go,
right.
If I had real balls.
Yeah. Well, they are the same, aren't they?
They are. They're the exact same. Every story about Costanza in Seinfeld is a true Larry David story, except the wife dying from the envelopes thing, I think. I think they're on record saying that, like, all of it, quitting the job and going back on Monday, making up the jobs, like, everything he ever did as Costanza that's unbelievable, terrible shit, is all very 100% true Larry David stories. To the point where, like, I've seen Jason Alexander in more than one interview. I've seen him tell it a couple of different ways because he tells it one way that makes Larry sound nice. And then there's earlier versions of it that I think are more true where he tells it where, like, Larry yells at him. And it's basically, like, one of the scripts, and I forget which one it was, but I guess he's, like, it's early in the show, and he's a Juilliard-trained actor. And he's working with these two stand-up comedians who are throwing together a TV show.
Yeah.
So I guess he walks over to Larry David, the head writer, and he's like, hey, Larry, so I was reading the script, and, like, no person alive would do this. And even if they did, no one alive would do the next thing. Like, this is the most unbelievable script, like, anybody could ever try to produce. I think this is how we – and I guess Larry just, like, stopped him and was like, people would do that. I did that. That's me. I did that. What are you talking about? You go out there and you do it. And then he tells it another way where he's like, Larry's like, what do you mean? I did that. Of course a person would do that. I did that. And it's like, no, I can see it in the early 90s. The show's early. Larry's stressed out of his mind. And I could see him being like, what are you talking about, you idiot? Go out there and do it. And Jason Alexander's like, in that moment, I realized, oh, my God, I'm playing him. Yeah.
My favorite things.
Yeah, because he had a reference. He also knew the real guy now. Like, Kramer got to meet Kramer and pick up on a lot of his shit. Like, they introduced everybody to the real people. Yeah. Elaine knew Elaine.
There was an Elaine?
Well, yeah, it was Julie Louise Dreyfus played Elaine Benes, and then what was the actual comedian's name, Mitch? There was a comedian. Elaine's based on a comedian, not a lady who worked at fashion. Same way George works for the Yankees, but the real Larry David was writing for SNL. Yeah, so they're kind of comparable levels of jobs. But that was one of the fibs. Bushler? Elaine Bushler?
Boozler.
Boozler.
I remember her. Okay.
That's who Elaine is. And then Kramer's Larry David. I don't know if that part's true. I don't think every story about Elaine or Kramer or Jerry was necessarily based in truth. Like, I think Larry David was the only person they were basing the characters on who was actually insane enough
yeah.
to sustain telling true stories for 9 years. Whereas I think the rest of them were all normal people that had some quirks and they based the characters on them because those were who were in their life. But Kramer was a real guy who lived next door to Larry David and would actually just bust into his apartment and steal food and tell him insane conspiracy theories. Yeah. And he sued the show and got a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Do it. Should I sue Ted Danson? Go ahead. Yeah. Where his temper prevents him from finding love. Yeah. I feel like I'd have a better chance of going after Seth Rogen for Pineapple Express, but whatever. Yeah, man. That was pretty good. Yeah. Have you heard Bill Hader do it? And it's earth-shattering. Yeah, there's a couple different times I've heard him do it. The best one's when he tells the story about him trying to pick out glasses for his character. Because I guess it's like a production meeting and Seth had to be there as the guy on Superbad who's in charge. And I guess finally Bill Hader asked him for his opinion and Seth Rogen was like, I don't fucking care. Hurry up. And his impression of it's very good. Yeah. And then they have a story about them fucking with McLovin because he was actually like a kid. I forget what lie they told him, but he believed it for like a year. Oh, they told him that, what movie is it? They told him that an old sci-fi movie was a documentary. Fuck. Yeah. Him and Seth told McLovin that an old movie was a documentary and he believed it for like over a year and repeated it to people and shit. So he does an impression of Seth when he tells that story too. And he's like, yeah. And Seth told him even like so-and-so decided to study science for a year and quit being an actor to do this documentary. Steve Guttenberg. Fuck. What's the movie?
Cocoon.
It might be Cocoon.
Fuck. Yeah, no. It's something that, like,
makes sense as like telling a kid, like, no, that's actually a real story. That was a documentary. Fuck. Well.
What was that? Short Circuit. Remember that?
Short Circuit. It's Short Circuit. They tell him that Short Circuit's a documentary about a robot. Yeah, they did a Johnny Five joke on set, and he didn't know what it was. And so him, Jonah Hill, and Seth Rogen convinced him that it was a documentary about a robot from the 80s, and that Steve Guttenberg became a scientist to work on this documentary and quit doing comedy for a year. Like, the it's just fucking hilarious that he bought it. It's such a good story. Yeah, dude. That's so good. And just, like, the idea of being someplace with McLovin when he's, like, recently famous and, like, 17 years old, and him telling you, like, hey, man, so I have on, like, pretty good information from some of these older guys I work with that there's this dope documentary called fucking Short Circuit. You want to watch it later? You're like, what the fuck are you talking? Are you high? And him having to, like, either be double down and be like, dude, there's no way Bill Hader, Seth Rogen, and Jonah Hill lied to me. Or the very first time he got called on it, he was heartbroken and realized he was an idiot. Either way is good. Yeah. Oh, God. sentient robots are sexy. Let's go. Mitch, where would people hit us up to let us know about robots that get them hard? Excelsior.